What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, July 25th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Davis from the Warp Zone.
Woo!
Yay! The studio audience, so excited.
I'm so happy to be here.
We're so happy to have you.
Yeah.
I heard you guys were dead.
We were, it seemed like that, but then, like the phoenix, we rose from the ashes.
If somebody doesn't know the Warp Zone, Davis, how do you describe it?
We're just a gaming, pop culture, like nerdy sketch comedy, and occasionally music video channel on YouTube.
Yeah. You've been doing it how long?
Jesus Christ. 10 years yeah. as the Warp Zone, and then as a group of friends, even longer.
Yeah. That's the thing, is like Warp Zone, I always think of you guys as like our first VidCon friends. When we came to VidCon and started hanging out with you, and you guys were all awesome, we were all awesome, we just got to hang out. Kevin agrees, he's taking out an Egg McMuffin. Gary would have just dropped off.
It's a good day.
Yeah? You're enjoying yourself over there? You having a good one? Anytime we get Gary Whitta just to drop by, I'm excited.
I was very excited before he gave me the Egg McMuffin.
Yeah, exactly, right?
You're Oreos, excited to see him. Egg McMuffin, you're having a hell of a morning.
I sure am.
I like how Kevin paused because he gets made fun of a lot. So he wasn't sure, was that about to be somebody trying to take me up?
Yeah. And maybe I get cigarettes later. I don't know what kind of day it's going to be. Yeah, you know, it's
You shouldn't have cigarettes, Kevin.
My God,
look at Davis.
Go.
He stopped smoking. Look
don't
how good he looks.
Bring yeah. me down.
I had a probiotic yogurt, so.
He's an adult.
Right?
And with granola in there, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
You're looking good, dude.
Thank you.
Yeah, you look great.
What happened? You just decided to change your life one day?
Well, I lost my job for a little while. I had a lot of free time. Drop some weight.
So that, if somebody doesn't know, that's the deal, right? Warp Zone was part of the Defy stuff.
Yeah, we were part of Defy Media with Smosh Games and Clever and a bunch of people, and they went out of business, and we were all in limbo for a little while, and through some friendship and some miracles, we just got our brand back, and so we've been doing it for fun. And
that's awesome.
Ever since.
So people should go support you. The Warp Zone. YouTube.
We also have a Patreon too. Patreon.com/The Warp Zone.
That'll never take off. This, ladies and gentlemen, is where we talk about the news. Today we're going to cover religion and cyberpunk, that GTA Online casino update, and some Wolfenstein reviews, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. You can give us your questions, comments, concerns, and everything under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. The Mario Maker Party Mode is available for all right now for free. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. Go over there and see how bad Andy's level is and how he should be ashamed for making it.
It's not even fun, frankly.
Why? Why? Why are people making levels like this and thinking this is...
This is not how people have fun.
No, exactly. Oh, I mean, look, only 3 people out of 1 million have cleared it. It's a good level. No, that's a bad level.
Bad level.
That's how I feel about a lot of the Mario Maker levels, but they are fun to watch.
Thank you to our Patreon producers, Colton Yoder, Blackjack, and Mohammed Mohammed. Today we're brought to you by Brooklyn and Experian, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Subdued dude dudes from you. You trying not to inhale the Egg McMuffin? 5 items on the Roper Report.
Is that a Baker's Dozen?
Baker's Dozen!
It turns out it is. Turns out it is. Kevin was doing some improv over there, I think.
What do you mean?
Who is honking their horn? What is happening out there?
I don't know. Who do you got a problem with? Me or the
Why
horn?
Are they all honking their horns now, Kevin?
Oh, shit. I think someone's honking it at Tim. Oh, shit. Tim definitely just took a left.
Tim sucks.
I hate him.
Number one on the Roper Report. Let's talk about religion in Cyberpunk 2077. We're going to read from Matt Kim's article on IGN.com. An interview between CD Projekt Red and Polish news site GRR Online WP was recently translated into English on the video game message board NeoGAF. Had you seen this? There was a little bit of controversy about what they were saying about religion in the game. IGN reached out to CD Projekt Red, not wanting to go on that translation, to ask whether the translation was accurate, and a representative from the company told IGN that it was not. CD Projekt Red sent IGN their own English translation of the Polish interview, which we included below. IGN was able to also able to independently translate the interview and found the new translation to be more in line with their own translation. So here's how it goes. WP, the Polish site, says, you mentioned religion. Does it still exist in the cyberpunk world? CD Projekt Red responds, yes, and in many forms. As I mentioned, our vision is somehow based on the real world, and religion is a very important part of the latter, society-wise. In our game, we're going to see, for example, Christianity and its different branches, or religions from the Far East. No, from the East. Origins from the East. Polish site says, sounds controversial. Someone will enter a church and cause havoc. CD Projekt Red responds, we do not want to avoid religion as a topic. Authenticity of the world is what counts for us. Technically, the situation you mentioned is possible, but this is all about the choices made by the player. We won't encourage the player to do so. In our quests, which involve religious themes, we make sure there's no disrespect. So this is... did you see any of this yesterday when it was cycling around a bit?
I did not.
Okay. So that was the thing, is it it kicked that old beehive of political correctness in a video game, and what are we staying away from, and what are things... Because it was this... what was getting kicked around was this no disrespect thing. They didn't want to disrespect religions. I think it's interesting, right? And I think with the translation, hats off to IGN for reaching out and getting clarification and all this stuff, that what they're saying, right, is like, the churches are there and you can do whatever the hell you want to them. However, in our quest line, we're not insulting religion at any point.
Right.
That's the way I would think you want it to be done. Am I wrong?
No, yeah. I mean, it's always tricky when you're dealing with religion. I think it's... I'm not a religious person, but it's always interesting, especially when you're looking at religion through, like, sci-fi or future stuff to see how, like... Let's extrapolate how technology affects that. And yeah, people will be really sensitive to it. But like GTA, you can just go around shooting people in the streets. And is that any... That's not like better than shooting someone in a church. So it's... I don't know. It kind of comes down to like... People will misuse it if they want to. And you can't police it.
You can't... I don't ever want to sit there and box developers or game creators into it on what ifs. Because no matter what you do in your game, no matter what tools you give someone on YouTube and Twitch is going to be a moron with it and is going to do something. And yet, there's going to be a person who puts up a video, watch me shoot up a church, right? And goes in there and uses all the crazy cybernetic powers to just fucking clown people out.
Yeah.
That, it could also be, like you're saying, watch me shoot up a fat burger or whatever in GTA, which isn't it. Cluck and Bell is the chicken restaurant. Right. I was thinking the burger restaurant. I couldn't get there.
I want a burger. I don't know the burger name.
What's that burger fucking name? Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Why can't I remember the burger burger from GTA? But that's the thing. Is like, you're going to be able to...
That?
Huh?
Nothing.
What'd you say to me, Kevin?
I said, you want them to explain why you can't remember?
No, I want them to tell me what the name of the burger place is. You know what I mean? Cluck and Bell's the chicken. Doesn't matter. Whatever burger you shot. Give people the ability to... What is it?
Burger Shot.
Burger Shot.
I'm sorry. The timing wasn't great. I should have said it moments before you started.
Did you find it out or somebody tell you?
No, some kid told me.
Did you ever think maybe you should just take credit for it and seem smart?
I said it.
Good job, Kevin.
You're not a great liar, but maybe that's
it's normal.
That's positive. No, it means you're a good person.
Yeah,
sure.
Well, no matter what tools you give people in a game, especially an open world game, especially an RPG as deep as this, it's going to be weird, right? People are going to do weird things with it.
Yeah.
It's like Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm going to make some weird shit.
I mean, it's like all those choices that also make it so much fun. I don't know. So, double-edged sword.
Yeah, I'm glad it's there. It's interesting that it's there. I hadn't thought about it. I'm not that religious as well. So I hadn't thought about places of worship in the far-flung future, in this cyberpunk future they've created, right? You would think, I would think that with, not the agenda they're pushing, but with the augments, with the thing, with technology, that would pull you away from religion in a way, right? And make a society that would be like, no, we don't believe in God or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, also in a world where you can...
In a world.
Well, like, cyber technology is like, could be construed as miracles. It would be interesting to see how religions in this universe could bend it. Like, if you can create visions, who's to say that's not the Messiah? Like, I don't know.
Sure.
There is like fertile ground to explore religion in cyberpunk. So I don't think you should not do it because you're going to be afraid that someone's going to like...
Yeah, and that'll be interesting too, is that they talk about in our quest, which involves religious themes, we make sure there's no disrespect. So there are quests that are going to involve religious themes, apparently. But yeah, they're not going to disrespect religion straight out, which is interesting as well. It's a fine line to walk that I wouldn't have thought of if I was like, I'm going to make a cyberpunk game.
Yeah,
this is what I'm going to get to. But I guess you get to where does man and the machine begin? And what does that do to the traditional idea of religion?
Yeah,
interesting. I'll be interested to see what they do with it, as I am with everything they're going to do with cyberpunk. Number two on the Roper Report. Dragalia Lost. Am I saying it right, Kevin? Dragalia.
You nailed it.
Dragalia Lost becomes Nintendo's second most successful mobile game. This is Alex Malaviv. Is that Tim?
Yeah.
Tim, get on shock mic for a second, please. Please get on shock mic. It's up, Kevin. No, no. I didn't say hug Davis. I didn't say hug Davis. Dude. I say get in shock, Mike. Tim, we need you to explain what just happened out there.
What just happened?
Because we all heard the horns. And then Kevin looked. I was like, Kevin, what is going on outside? And he looked out the window. And he said, I think it's Tim. That you were blocking traffic or you were making a left.
You made a left, but like maybe 4 seconds before, there was hella horns.
Yeah, like that was ahead of me. There was a lot of U-turns going on. It's a street cleaning day.
Okay.
Which causes chaos for parking.
So last minute people decisions, they're like, oh shit, I shouldn't turn left here.
But I got this baby little Prius C. I can fit anywhere. You
know what I mean? I'm sure that was easy
being
to get
small,
into.
Fantastic.
You got the backup camera?
No, I wish.
No, instead he got a giant subwoofer for no reason.
When you get to the Prius V level like me, you get some of the nice
Number two, Dragalia Lost becomes Nintendo's second most successful mobile game. This is Alex at Sensor Tower. Released in September 2018 and still available in only 11 markets, Nintendo's fourth mobile title, Dragalia Lost, has just surpassed $100 million in total player spending on 3 million downloads, according to Sensor Tower store intelligence estimates. In doing so, it has overtaken Animal Crossing Pocket Camp as the publisher's second highest earning title on mobile after 2017's release of Fire Emblem Heroes. Dragalia Lost has grossed $1 million more than Nintendo's mobile Animal Crossing, which currently sits at $99 million spent by players since launch in November 2017. While it now ranks second among the Kyoto firm's mobile titles, it trails top-grossing Fire Emblem Heroes by nearly $500 million.
Damn.
So that's quite the gap there to try to close, right? Okay. Good job of making $100 million. You're still $500 million away from the top leader.
Yeah.
Have you gotten sucked into any of these Nintendo mobile games? Dr. Mario Run?
I'm not like much of a mobile gamer. I grew up as like a Game Boy boy, so I have a different expectation of mobile gaming.
Sure, you want a dedicated device.
I did check out, just like last week, a friend showed me Dragalia Lost.
Okay.
And it looks like a mobile. It's got all the cool bells and whistles of a mobile game, but I'm just like, it's not really my bag.
Sure, yeah. I just fell in love with Pokemon Go, which will come up later in the news here.
I was part of that train in the beginning.
Yeah, come back. It's a great time to come back. Team Rocket stuff's happening today. We'll talk about it soon.
Ooh, okay.
All right, I'm just letting you know. Things are happening out there. And what's been surprising for me is I played Pocket Camp. I love Animal Crossing. So when that dropped, I was like, of course, I'm going to play this. I want to play Animal Crossing. But I don't think I put a dollar into Animal Crossing. Like, I don't think I bought any of the microtransaction stuff that, you know, they're talking about it being its second one with $99 million, right, of player spending so far for Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
I think I just played that for free. Meanwhile, with Pokemon Go, right, I've been playing for 2 weeks, and I don't want to know how much I've put in.
If you've just been buying Pokeball, what can you spend it on nowadays?
You get the Poke Coins, of course. And then you go and you turn the coins around. And like, what I'm doing is extra inventory space. I can get extra. Jen and I wanted to walk like from the way out in the middle of nowhere to the movies one day. So we're like, all right, cool. We're going to be walking a lot. I'm going to think smart here, Davis. I bought a bunch of incubators so I could incubate my eggs and I could hatch all my eggs as I walk too. You know what I mean?
They got you.
They do have me. They have me bad. And you think they have me bad, they have my wife worse. And that's why I don't want to know for the family credit card how much money has gone to Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
But it's the weird thing of, and I feel this way with, you know, the normal box games we play, right? Where if I love a game and there's a season pass or DLC drops, I'll buy it, right? Even if I got the game, the code for review or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm having so much fun. I want to put money into this. And it's like with Division and microtransactions there. It's interesting, though, that I don't, even with the Pokemon Go stuff, where I'm giving them the money for extra storage space or fucking incubating my eggs or whatever. For me, it's such a, oh, well, they deserve this money. I've played this game. I'm playing this game every day. And I'm having a great time, and me and my wife are walking around doing stuff. Like, it's like, you've earned the $10 I'm giving you. But the problem is, this is how they get everybody with mobile games, right? Is that I'm not keeping track of how many $10 I'm giving them.
Right.
And so it's just $10 here, $10 there. What do you know? What's going on?
Yeah, when you see the bill at the end of the day, you're like, oh.
Did they do this good of a job?
Yeah, that's how I play, you know, Dauntless. It's like a Monster Hunter type thing. That's free to play, and I'll spend money in that because I'm like, you know what? I've played this so much, and I love this game so much. Sure, here's like $10 for like a new jacket.
Yeah, exactly, right?
That's what's on. Yeah.
Yeah, I went and I bought all the Mewtwo outfit stuff, so I look cool. I digress. Hello, Hugh writes in and says, for Animal Crossing Pocket Camp, there are more payable microtransactions such as cookies for cosmetic items than earlier game. I jumped in thinking that was going to be more helpful, and that was actually threw me, it confused me more as to what we were talking about. So we'll just keep moving. We're just going to move. I wasn't saying there was not microtransactions. I just didn't play them.
But maybe more now, I think, is what he's saying.
Okay. That makes more sense. Thank you.
But also, I wasn't listening to the start of this or right now?
Animal Crossing Pocket Camp every so often I think about reinstalling. Because I had a cool Christmas tree going on there. I mean, it's been that long, no? What, you know it's going to eventually play into the Animal Crossing on Switch, though.
Yeah, in like 3 years, you know what I mean?
What? Next year? Come on,
Kay. Next year?
Yeah, well, it's supposed to be this year, but now it's next year. You know what and I mean? I'm sure it won't move again.
It's a sliding scale.
All right. Number three. Let's talk about that GTA Online casino update. IGN reports it's blocked in more than 50 countries.
Oh, no.
This is Alicia Judge at IGN. Stringent local laws appear to be blocking Grand Theft Auto Online players in over 50 countries from gambling in the new Diamond Casino update. The update went live yesterday, but some players soon received in-game notifications that they didn't, quote, have permission to buy gambling chips to use in the virtual casinos. The new Diamond Casino runs on in-game cash, which can be purchased with real money. It would seem the developer Rockstar Games feels that the transaction mirrors online gambling too closely to ignore. IGN has reached out to Rockstar for comment. Reddit users are reporting that they are able to go inside the casinos, but they are blocked from purchasing and betting purchasing betting chips. One user wrote, quote, I launched and headed straight for the new building and wanted to buy myself some chips for games. After contacting support, I received a quick reply that because of my region, I cannot enjoy the gambling-related content in the new DLC. They also noted, quote, I tried buying the High Roller Penthouse, but it was locked for no apparent reason. Elsewhere, players have created a current list of 54 countries that can't access Diamond Casino's gambling features. It's wide-ranging, including China, North Korea, Iceland, Cyprus, and Poland. In the comments, some of these international players now say they're using VPNs, however, that could land them in trouble with Rockstar or their country's legal system. The decision to block access to virtual casino raises interesting questions around loot boxes, which are legally available in some of the countries Rockstar has blocked. One user wrote, quote, so far, no reason for the thing to be blocked in my country, parentheses Argentina. We have loot box mechanics freely available, and so are microtransactions. I don't see how this, buying chips in Diamond Casino, is illegal, end quote. Where do you come down on this nightmare clusterfuck Rockstar shouldn't have even brought us into?
It seems like an idea that, like, clearly was going to have problems.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when it's, that it's literally a casino is like,
I guess it's literally gambling.
It fits the world, but it's like, I don't know. No one was like, there's no like intern at Rockstar that was like, you know, I think this is not going to be a good idea, but I feel like there's already too many weird pseudo gambling things in games.
That's the problem.
And it's such a hot issue. Like, people are so fed up, it seems like, with loot boxes and everything else. I don't love them.
Yeah.
This seems like a big issue, but
What happens next, right? Kevin Coyle, I saw your hand go up there from kindofunny.com.
Yeah, I have a question. Can you buy this with in-game currency?
Yeah. It was a confusing point on Tuesday with Andrea, because
she got confused again.
No, it wasn't her. It was the fact that it was so confusing as the report. The BBC reported on it, right? And they were talking about it and that, yeah, you can use the real money. Somebody on Twitter from another country was saying they couldn't use the real money and had a screenshot of them not being able to. People in kindoffunny.com/you're wrong confirmed that they're in America. They are able to do it. Some in the UK are able to do it. The long story short, yes, you can take real money into this fake casino and get... You take the money, you get the GTA cash, you take your GTA cash to the casino, you buy chips with it. There is a limit on how many chips you can play and buy with. I think if you do what we were talking about on the day, it's like $1.50 is like what you can buy them in or something in an increment or something to that effect. So it's not like you're coming in and I'm gonna spend $10,000 in a day.
If we have 10 million GTA dollars that we earned by stealing,
right,
we can use that money
yes
to gamble with.
Yes.
And then... So we just make more fake GTA money and then,
right.
Okay.
Or you lose it, as with most casinos, right?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, that's the goal with it, obviously, yes, would be that, you know, we go pull off the Doomsday heist. We come away with $7 million. We're balling ass ballers.
Seven.
We go there.
You bet on black. Yeah, you double it.
Exactly.
You double it again.
Exactly.
You're feeling hot.
Yeah. And then we get the penthouse baller suite.
Oh.
But it's the concern and the argument of gambling in games, which has already been such a hot topic with loot boxes, right? Where it literally so many world governments are looking at this, worried about it.
Yeah, I mean,
and then to be unabashedly for gambling. Granted, small amounts of money.
But it's
granted,
also,
you can do it in other games.
It's not like you're getting money back,
right?
Which almost I think makes
it worse.
Is a
bigger problem,
because,
I think,
because
right?
you can funnel real money in, but you can never get it back out. I think it's like one of the issues, but.
If it was, and that's the thing, is one of the screenshot that was so, not controversial, but like threw us for a loop trying to figure all this out, was the person walking up to buy it, and it's saying, you can use your in-game cash, but you can't use the shark cards for this. Which would mean that, okay, all the money you've earned from heists, robbing people, killing people, that can be used here, but not your real money.
Yeah.
Which I was in the vein of, then this is a non-issue, who cares?
Right.
Like then, but then when it is like, no, you can take real money in there, but really small amounts, and there's a limit on chips, and this, that, and the other. It's just like, I have never had the problem with the loot boxes and the gambling. I think loot boxes are weird. I think it's a stupid, why are we just buying blind boxes hoping to get cool things?
Like, right.
Whatever. But I also am not somebody who's struggled with addiction to gambling. And it's one of those things when we were talking, and Andrea was like, this is totally a non-issue. Why is this a story? So people were writing in being like, well, if it's gambling, there's laws about gambling in the United States, but there's not laws about gambling in their fictional casino world and right. all these different protections and turns. And it's just such a cluster.
Yeah.
And again, it's just Rockstar poking the beast, I feel like, right?
Yeah.
Because again, somebody's going to come out. We're going to have Tipper Gore back in there yelling at Congress about it. Kevin, Tipper Gore still do stuff like that?
Dead.
Are you serious?
No, I don't know.
I was going to say, I don't think Tipper Gore's dead. I don't know. She's still with Al Gore? But you remember this when she came into Congress about like protecting the children. I think it was so. Music or no?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is her name Tipper?
It was Tipper Gore. That's definitely her name. I can confirm that much off the top of my head.
Still alive. 70 years old, still married to Al Gore.
70 years old?
Boom.
Yeah.
God, people get old. You know what I mean? They keep aging up. You don't think about it.
Yeah. We're going to blink and one day we'll be there.
No, never.
Yeah, yeah, no. We'll stay young forever.
Exactly. Well, we'll die. You know what I mean?
We don't know that for sure.
You know? Yeah. We don't know for sure, Kevin.
We talked about this before.
All right, Kevin.
Cyberpunk could become real. We could be immortal.
Exactly. And then religion will still be here, but we won't go into churches with it because we don't offend anybody. Number four on the Roper Report, Team Rocket is back in Pokemon Go. This is Kevin Nevick over at IGN.
What?
Earlier this week, Pokemon Go players had their first encounter with Team Rocket. The villainous trainers would invade certain Pokestops and challenge players to battle using their shadow Pokemon. But just as suddenly as they appeared, Team Rocket seemed to vanish from the game. The evil team is now back again in Pokemon Go in even greater numbers, and there's a new special research quest line to go along with them. Just as before, you can encounter a Team Rocket grunt. Now, I don't want to be this guy, or well, actually, but I don't want to be kindoffunny.com. You're wronged on this, all right? I wear, as a Pokemon master now, I turned it on and saw this, they're actually calling them what? Team Rocket Go. Because they're not Team Rocket Rocket, like the Team Rocket you know and love.
Right.
Team Rocket Go. Yes, Team Rocket you know and love is dead. Yeah. This is Team Rocket Go.
This is like the next generation resurrecting the banner.
Exactly. Team Rocket, and he leaves out the go, but go, grunt at certain Pokestops. You can tell which locations have been taken over by the team by their appearance. On the overworld map, the Pokestop cube will appear darker and will twitch erratically. And when you approach it, you'll notice the stop is colored black rather than blue. Spin the photo disc at one of these Pokestops, and the Rocket Grunt will reveal themselves and challenge you to a Pokemon battle.
You seen any of these yet?
Oh, come on, dude. I fought two of them already. I got a quest to fight three. I'm going to find another one of these guys.
All right, cool.
Don't worry. I'm on it. I'm on it for Pokemon.
That is awesome. I don't play it anymore, but this is like a really cool feature.
Yeah.
Kind of a fun way to like put some new stuff in there.
Have you taken a look at it at all, like recently, or kept up with news with Pokemon Go?
I hear the news about it every now and then.
Because that's how we got into it, is that Jen and I were walking home from breakfast and talking about video game news and then getting into, oh man, yeah, Pokemon Go. And it's so crazy that it's still so successful and so many people are playing it.
Yeah.
It's updated and changed so much. And we opened up and started looking at it, and before we knew it, we were in there. Because there is so much to do in it. And there are so many little things that it is the perfect time waster of a game, where even when there's no Pokemon around me, well, I gotta go through and like send gifts to people, or I gotta go through and figure out, oh, I got too many duplicates Pokemon, let's delete them, or transfer them, let's level them. Just up
turn them into candy or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Send them to the professor. The candy comes back. It's not weird at all, you know what I mean? Don't worry about it at all. Yeah. So I if you liked it in the beginning, you should try it again.
I may try it. My friend group down in LA, when it was came out, we use it as an excuse to do like brunch. Mm-hmm. And we would like find restaurants that were near Pokestops.
Sure.
Somebody would pay for that, like
the lure,
the thing. Yeah, yeah. And we would just like drink mimosas and spin the thing, and it's fun. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great game. Kevin, come back.
I love brunch so much.
Let's get you back on Pokemon Go. We can play tomorrow at breakfast. Come on.
How about we both play the Dr. Mario game?
Okay, fair. Okay. Number five and final on the Roper Report. Guess what, everybody? The review embargo for Fire Emblem Three Houses and Wolfenstein Youngblood are up. I thought, let me know you want to. We usually don't cover reviews and stuff, but I thought for big games, maybe we should. Right now for Three Houses, the Metacritic is 87. This is at 9:37 a.m. Don't bother, you're wrong me if it's changed. Games Radar gave it a 5 out of 5. Easy Allies gave it an 8.5. Game Informer gave it a 9.5. IGN gave it a 9.5 and said Fire Emblem Three Houses succeeds in its ambitious telling of a land at war, helmed by captivating leaders in which no side has all the answers. Its tense battles are made all the more harrowing thanks to new strategy elements, and the colorful cast of troops you send into the fray are incredibly charming. With a new take on training and bonding your units, and with the many activities and options available to sample, it's absolutely begging to be played multiple times. This is one Tim's been playing. Tim loved it. He talked about it on the Gamescast. It was different than what he expected in terms of battle, but he's been enjoying it. It's one he thinks I will like. I have downloaded with Marvel Ultimate Alliance, baby. Yeah. I ain't got time. I got all these characters to get up to level 100. Come on now. Too much happening.
Are you a Fire Emblem guy?
No, I've never played it before.
I've dabbled in the series.
Yeah.
Early on, I have a problem letting go of characters, so permadeath is like it's a tough pill for me to
swallow.
Sure,
yeah.
But I've tried them throughout the years, and this one actually looks cool. There's something about, there's like a whole schoolhouse element.
Yeah.
I'm a big, you know, Harry Potter. I don't know. I just, if you have like a cool school element to it, that suddenly like hooks me more. So, and the reviews are really good. So
yeah, reviews are great. I definitely want to kick the tires on it when I get the chance. But
and light the fires or just the tires?
Just the tires. Just kick the tires. Okay. Just kicking the tires over. Meanwhile, news not as good for Wolfenstein Youngblood. Right now, Metacritic's at 77. This is at 9:37 a.m. Don't bother, you're wrong if it's changed. Game Informer gave it an 8.5. The Guardian gave it 4 out of 5 stars. Destructoid gave it a 6. IGN gave it a 6.5 with IGN's Dan Stapleton writing, Wolfenstein Youngblood is an aggressively okay co-op shooter that doesn't come close to recapturing the joy of its predecessor's action or its surprisingly interesting characters and story. It doesn't completely fumble the fun of its weapons and abilities or counteract the pleasing sensation of squishing Nazis between your toes, but it does make it harder to enjoy at seemingly every turn, with an out-of-place leveling system, busted stealth gameplay, some aggravating boss fights, and inadequate checkpoint saves. Frankly, I expected more from the Blazkowicz twins. Interesting. I've only played Youngblood once. It was with McCaffrey from IGN Judges Week, and we did co-op.
Okay.
And so, I wonder, don't get me wrong, a 6.5 is okay on IGN scale.
I love... aggressively okay is a wonderful phrase.
Right? Yeah, exactly. And I think... did you play Wolfenstein 1 and 2?
I played the first one. Loved the first one. I haven't played the second one yet.
Yeah. Neither of them clicked for me, and I think part of it was just how... the pace of them, how difficult they were on purpose. And for me, having a co-op partner there made all the difference playing with McCaffrey, right. Where I do want to play... I told Jen, like, we got to play this Friday night. I think... it'll be interesting to play through it and have a partner there, where I know one of the complaints people have had is like, there really isn't that much story to it. You know, it doesn't have the cast of characters from Wolfenstein 2, this, that, and the other. If I'm just running through and shooting stuff and having fun with Jen, I feel like that'll be good.
Yeah.
But I did read Dan's review, and he talks about the new leveling mechanics. And when you'll come around a corner and see like the level, like, you know, 4 levels above you of the other enemy.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, that doesn't feel like Wolfenstein. That's not what this game
was. Did they have levels in?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
That's a new thing. And he's like, it's also, it doesn't have, according to Dan, the loot mechanics of like a Borderlands 2. So it's not like you see somebody who's a higher level, you're like, ooh, the risk reward here.
Yeah.
It's more like, oh, I'll come back and fight this guy when I'm more powerful.
Yeah, when I'm playing like Wolfenstein or Doom, I'm looking more for just like cool explosive destructive action, not like the RPG looter shooter.
Exactly.
Stuff. And
The nanobiologist writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, hey Greg and Davis, as a huge Wolfenstein fan, I was really pumped to play Wolfenstein Youngblood, but after seeing gameplay and reviews, it seems like Bethesda decided to change what Wolfenstein was and try to make it more of an RPG with microtransactions and leveling instead of run and gun as it was in The New Order, Old Blood, and New Colossus. I'm severely disappointed because this game was advertised to be as being very similar to New Colossus with mechanics and gunplay. Do you think this shift in gameplay will affect sales? And how do you think the general fan base who loves Wolfenstein and Doom for their tight run and gun gameplay will react to this major shift in the game? I honestly hope this is just a one-off because it is a side cool. I see what you did there. $40 game. I mean, who knows? You'll have to wait and see, right? And again, obviously, I don't think these aren't terrible scores. They aren't the nines people would want from a Wolfenstein game, but
yeah,
8.5, 4 out of 5, like 6.5 from IGN.
Yeah, I think that... they look especially bad in comparison to the other games in this franchise. Mm-hmm. I know that I'm finding out that it's an RPG. I'm a little turned off to it. Because I do feel like Doom and this are like the last bastions of just like good old-fashioned run-and-gun first-person shooting.
Sure.
So and there's plenty of other, if you want the RPG side, that you can do Destiny. There's, yeah, Borderlands, everything else. So me personally, I'm not a huge fan of this shift. I don't know that if they did it right, and it sounds like they're not nailing it, I don't think that would turn people off. But it sounds like if these reviews are consistently not that great, that'll probably turn people off.
Yeah, I think already it was a, and I can't speak for Wolfenstein fans. You guys would have to yourselves. It probably already was. Hey, why is it co-op? Why is that two players there? Even if it is an AI person, right? Because that wasn't what you wanted from Wolfenstein 1 and 2. Of course, developers, you know, Machine Games and stuff, they should be able to stretch their legs, do different things, you know, try this out. I think it is a sidequel. I don't think you have to worry. I think that there's a reason it's not Wolfenstein 3. I think they're doing something different in the same way they're doing the VR Wolfenstein 1 right now, too. I think this is just a chance to go out there and do something different, and I think it's reflected in the price point, right? Nanobiologist corrects himself in your own. Says it's a base $30 game with a deluxe edition at $40.
Oh, okay.
I think that price point speaks to, hey, this is an experiment. This is something we're doing. You know, try it out. It does as well. The RPG mechanic turned me off when I was reading Stapleton's review, and it was like, yeah, you run into a corner or turn a corner, and there's a dude there with a higher level. It's like, oh, well, yeah. I don't know if that's what I want out of it. That's what I want out of Borderlands, right? I'm stoked for Borderlands 3.
Well, and especially since, I mean, it's not really a real world thing. It's like past, future, but it's kind of like with Division, if I'm using kind of like relatively terrestrial guns, I don't want like there's a disconnect when you're like shoot an action game, but then people are like bullet sponges like an RPG that also just kind of like turns me out personally.
Sure, yeah, totally.
But in like a sci-fi setting, I'm like, oh, of course this alien has a health bar.
Yeah. Why wouldn't he? We're on Mars.
Yeah, but it's good that it's only $30. I am a big fan. It's probably purely psychological, but if something is like $20 or $30, I am so I'm like, okay, you guys are trying an experiment. I'm down with that.
And that's the thing.
If it was 65 or 60 or whatever they cost nowadays, these games, in this industry that we're in, then I'd be like, ooh, but this one, I'm like, 30, that's...
Yeah, you're trying something? Okay, go for it.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. Yeah, I'm still looking forward to trying it tomorrow night. See what's up.
Yeah.
Davis. Yep. I can't wait to find out if I like Wolfenstein Youngblood, but Friday is still so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, like say what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today! Mighty Switch Force Collection on PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Fantasy Strike on PS4, Switch, PC, and Mac. Furwind on Xbox One. Zombie Driver Ultimate Edition on Switch. Ely. Episode 1 on PS4. Raiden 5 on Switch. Songbird Symphony on PlayStation 4, Switch, and PC. Monster Boy and the Cursed Kingdom on PC. Caged Garden Cock Robin on Switch.
We're 12.
I know. Well, for me, it's more the thing of I didn't expect Caged Garden Cock Robin to be like a title. Also, grown up in the burbs of Chicago.
That sounds like code words you'd use to turn the Winter Soldier on.
Totally,
like,
right. Yeah, Cock Robin. Well, there was a growing up in the burbs of Chicago, there was a Cock Robin in Wheaton, Illinois. We'd go to and get hamburgers and a square ice cream was their deal. Haven't thought about that. I have not thought about
square ice cream. That was their deal.
How do you even make that?
It was like they had a
square or something.
Did Rite Aid make that? Like, wasn't that
just telling you what Cock Robin was doing.
Yeah. What was before Rite Aid?
Dwayne Reed.
No.
I didn't grow up with Rite Aid, so I don't know.
It was some
Walgreens?
No.
White Hen.
Now you're just...
White Hen was in the convenience store that we... And then 7-Eleven bought them up.
Anyways, but they
White Hen Pantry. Right. They did great sandwiches.
Hey, read your goddamn notes.
Every day, when Poe is going to school, and this should tell you why Poe just does not take care of himself. Well, Poe would go to school, my best friend, right? When we went to school together.
Thrifties.
He would get... What?
Thrifties.
Oh, no, I never had a Thrifties.
You never had a Thrifties?
No.
Oh.
Poe, though, would go to the White Hen Pantry and get a smiley face cookie and a Sprite, and that would be his breakfast.
Wait, was a smiley face made out of M&Ms?
Oh no! It was like it would be like a big old sugar cookie, and then they like put that weird yellow frosting on it, and then they draw the smiley on it. Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, Cage Garden Cock Robin is on Switch today. Can I see the Switch? This is
the wrong shape.
That's not it. Search for Cock Robin ice cream. See what you can get for me, all right?
Absolutely not.
Do it, Kevin, for me. Picross, Lord of the Nazareth is on Switch. Collidable 2 is on Switch. Super Mega Baseball 2 Ultimate Edition is on Switch. Gunpowder on the Teeth Arcade is on Switch. Smooth Summer Games is on Switch. 60 Seconds Reatomized is on PC and Mac. And these are all Switch games now. Arcade Archives, the Ninja Warriors, Cock Robin we already covered. Caladrius plays Grotopia. See, that's the square ice cream.
Yeah. This is what Thrifty's had too.
Heard like then smile. Why you show it? Is you know creepy what I mean? In the background.
Does it surprise you that you were able to find my Cock Robin ice cream immediately, but not your Thrifty's? Do you ever think of that?
No.
Nailed you.
Maybe that is like the Hansel and Gretel witch.
Yeah,
like,
no, there's a lot you can read into that photo. God, I could go for a Cock Robin, bro.
Double head.
Grotopia on Switch. Umihara Kawaii's Fresh on Switch. Woodle Tree 2 Deluxe on Switch. Good lord. New dates for you. Mech Warrior 5 Mercenaries is now coming exclusively to the Epic Games Store on December 10th. There's a closed beta planned for November. Solo is coming to PlayStation 4 on July 30th in US. Omega, Labyrinth, Life, and Labyrinth, Life are coming to Switch and PlayStation 4 globally on August 1st. Fishing Star World Tour is coming to the Nintendo Switch on September 26th. Everybody, wake up Gary Whitta. I'm sure he's already back to sleep. Why was Gary Whitta wearing those short shorts?
He said it was hot.
Huh.
And I was like, no, it's not.
The Verge reports Nintendo has announced a new Switch bundle for Japan that ties into the popular Disney Tsum-Tsum, how do I say it?
Tsum-Tsum is how I was told
Tsum-Tsum
it was pronounced.
Tsum-Tsum franchise. A new game called Tsum-Tsum Festival is coming out on October 10th and includes Switch-exclusive minigames as well as the ability to play a regular mobile-style game of Tsum-Tsum by holding the Switch vertically. The Switch hardware bundle features a patterned dock with Tsum-Tsum characters and the logo, while the included pink and purple Joy-Cons are similarly decorated. The Switch itself is the updated, longer-lasting model that has pink characters on the back. Also, the home button has ears. The Tsum-Tsum Festival bundle will be released in Japan on October 10th and will sell for $330. No word on a release anywhere else. You got excited when you heard it was a Disney Switch.
Yeah, I'm a big Disney fan. when I found out that it was a Tsum-Tsum one, I was a little less excited. Do you know what Tsum-Tsums are?
I've seen them. They're like little
potato shaped. Yeah. They're, I think in Japan, they're huge, and you buy a bunch of them, and they're all different sizes, and you stack them. And I had an ex-girlfriend that was obsessed with them. So
you know the Tsum-Tsum lifestyle.
Yeah, I've had to for anniversaries and birthdays.
Sure.
Luckily, they're not too expensive. So
sure. They're like the new Beanie Babies, right?
Yes.
They're like that kind of thing. Yeah. I've seen Marvel Tsum-Tsums.
Yeah, they have every character in the Disney pantheon and beyond. They have them and multiple versions of each of them. So I don't know. I was hoping for something a little more regular Disney themed.
I like the colors. Knowing nothing about the Tsum-Tsum lifestyle, I thought this was a cool doc. Kevin,
they're cool.
I actually hyperlinked it. Can you click on the hyperlink? The Verge and then show the images off because I think it's a good looking system. I like the purple. It is nice. Yeah.
I love the little Mickey ears on the start button.
I like that you hyperlinked it.
Hey, I thought this through because I knew I usually say, "Hey, Kevin or Barrett, do this," and you guys are like, and I'm like, "Fuck,
bullshit.
This. It would have been easier."
I always figure it out. You figure it out. Dumb takes a while.
But I like that. I like that a lot. And it's getting one step closer to Andrea getting her purple What's Good Games controllers.
That's what they meant by it had ears.
It's a Mickey Mouse button. The house of mouses, they say, Kevin. You know,
dumb.
I am dumb. I just don't. I'm not like you guys. All right. I don't focus on fucking Mickey Mouse. All right. I don't go to these theme parks to run around with a bunch of people in costumes.
There's a lot of letters.
I walk around and play goddamn.
That I didn't expect.
You're not a Disney fan?
No, he is. No. He's just an asshole.
I mean, I like Marvel a lot. Yeah.
Because he probably grew up like liking some off-brand Disney shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I love DreamWorks.
Nobody ever said they love DreamWorks.
Oh, I love DreamWorks.
All right. Also,
the world tolerates DreamWorks. No one loves DreamWorks.
Kevin, for you, this is it for us. Blood and Truth gets DLC tomorrow for free. New game plus, online leaderboards, challenges, new collectibles, and alternate routes through missions. What?
Do you want to do an addendum too?
No, we don't need to do an addendum to the PlayStation VR show. We record it and you'll see one day about it. Davis. It's time to check in with the readers.
Okay.
But first, I'm going to tell you about our sponsors. We're going to start with Experian. You know, the better your credit score, the easier it is to get the stuff you want and the less you have to pay. So the question is, why is it so hard to raise your score? Now it won't be thanks to Experian. They've launched Experian Boost, a brand new way to instantly increase your credit scores for free. A higher credit score can help you establish and get access to credit and preferred rates for the things you want and need in life. Experian is on a mission to help boost America's credit score, which will help millions of people across the country build and get better access to credit. People all across America have already raised their credit scores with Experian Boost, and you should too. For the first time ever, paying your utilities and cell phone bill can greatly increase your credit score. Experian Boost works by giving you credit for the bills you're already paying through your bank account, like water, gas, electric, cable, and
what are you laughing about?
That game was called Cock Robin. like this square ice cream place. It's killing me. It used to take months to see your credit score rise a point or two. With Boost, you can increase your credit scores instantly. Boost is free to use and only available from Experian. Up until now, you've been paying your utility and cell phone and getting nothing. Now you can get credit for it. Of course, I talk about it every time we do this ad. I had a credit card. I thought I closed it out. I thought everything was great. Went to credit check years later, and no, I owed them $60, and they were pissed. And it took forever to rebuild my credit. Don't be like me. We can't believe it's taking somebody this long to do this, so what are you waiting for? Experian Boost can potentially help you establish or increase your access to credit. Boost your FICO score instantly for free. Boost is only available at Experian.com/KFGames. That's Experian.com/KFGames. Up next is Brooklinen. Making your home beautiful is the ultimate form of self-care. You spend a third of your life in the sheets. Why don't you want them to be insanely comfortable? That's what Brooklinen does. Everybody knows about Brooklinen because we talk about them all the time. Me and Tim legitimately sleep in them all the time. Different beds, but I'm not against it if he ever wants to come over. Have you ever seen photos of Portillo? He's in my Brooklinen sheets, right? I went there, I clicked, I mixed and matched all the colors. It was great. Now, Brooklinen's got a brand new linen collection. They're calling it luxury linen. They have sheets, they have robes without the luxury markup. You can get in there and get a brand new comforter because it's getting so hot out there. It's so hot, Gary Whitta is wearing short shorts.
Oh, they're so short.
So short.
They're so short.
Of course, Brooklinen is the first direct-to-consumer bedding company, meaning they work directly with the manufacturers and directly with the customers. So there's no middleman, just a great product and service. They've got 12 new beautiful linen colors and patterns to choose from. So get over to brooklinen.com for this exclusive offer. You can get 10% off and free shipping when you use the promo code GAMES at brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get 10% off and free shipping is use the promo code GAMES at brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code GAMES. Brooklinen. These are the best sheets ever.
He was also so comfortable in them. Like, you could tell.
Gary's just comfortable in life, you know?
I guess.
Borzin00 writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames just like you can. It says, good morning, Greg and Davis. With Microsoft removing Cortana from the Xbox One dashboard, is this a sign that AI assistants and gaming are just not going to get along? We had Destiny 2 companion apps and Skyrim was ported to Amazon Echoes, but does gaming need to be in the AI assistant space at all? Is Cortana's removal a larger sign of things to come? As Cortana has not been removed, but severely limited in some newer Windows 10 updates, with it being removed from search. Did you follow this, Davis?
I did not know that it was removed, but I knew that it existed.
Yeah. Yeah, Xbox is doing an update to the Xbox One dashboard, right? And so from it, they're removing Cortana from the thing, so it'll start up faster and go quicker.
Okay.
The idea is that she's still integrated. You just need to, use a different app and use your Google Home or whatever to get her in there and get her going. Is it a sign that gaming and AI aren't meant to be? No.
No.
But it's a sign that, like, nobody gives a shit.
I'll tell you, I'm a huge Halo fan, and when they first started rolling out like the Cortana and different Windows things, I was excited, but when it wasn't exactly what I wanted, which was Cortana from the games, and I haven't used it in years, so I don't know if anyone's... I don't think this is a sign of anything. It might just be that it didn't work the way they wanted to, and they're going to go back to the ground floor.
Yeah, I'm reading from The Verge's piece here from Tom Warren. So the quote from Microsoft is this. I wanted to credit who the quote was from. Bradley Rossetti, Microsoft Xbox Insider Chief. We've heard your feedback and have continued to iterate on Home to get into your gaming experience faster and keeping more of your content front and center. With this new experimental Home design, the first thing you'll notice is we've removed the twist from the top of the Home in favor of separate buttons to launch your gaming experience. that's one of my biggest things is when I turn on the Xbox. And granted, this is what do you use, so what do you know? Like, I've, you know, used PlayStation 4 as my primary console forever. When I turn on the Xbox, it's always that thing like, wait, where is everything? How do I get to what?
Okay, worst. Yeah. The Xbox I use basically is like a 4K Blu-ray player, so every time I turn it on, I'm trying to figure out how to do that.
Exactly. Going with The Verge here, alongside the latest home update, Microsoft is also removing Cortana from the Xbox One. Microsoft says it's moving to cloud-based assistance, meaning, quote, you can no longer talk to Cortana via your headset. You'll still be able to power on an Xbox One through the Xbox skill for Cortana on iOS, Android, or Windows, just like the existing Alexa integration. Verge continues, it's no surprise to see Cortana disappearing from the Xbox One. Microsoft has a new focus for Cortana on more business-related scenarios, and the company is working on making Cortana better at holding conversations. Microsoft also previously decoupled Cortana from search in the recent Windows 10 May 2019 update, and now the company is bringing Cortana to the Microsoft Store as a separate app. Removing Cortana from the Xbox is another step in the digital assistant's demise on the consumer side of Microsoft software and services. For me, it's almost like Siri on the phone, where it's so rare I use her.
Yeah.
It's that once in a while, cooking, maybe. But honestly, I talk to my Echo so much more. I think it's just how AI, as we've introduced all these different AI assistants, right, finding the use case for them. Mm-hmm. In the same way we introduced Kinect to Xbox and then tried to put it with Xbox One, thinking, hoping, giving you the option for it to take off, even though it was mandatory at the beginning. It didn't. And so now they get to reassess.
Yeah, I think exactly. Everyone was hot on putting an AI assistant somewhere, so they used theirs, and it didn't work out. But I think that AI assistants in gaming are like, in the future, when it's all very streamlined and polished, it's going to be huge. Like, I look forward to the day when I'm just driving home, and I'm like, Cortana or whatever, can you, like, update whatever game
so that
when I get home, it's, like, ready to go? It's just maybe this version of Cortana wasn't the
one. And see, that's the thing is, like, it's so much like VR, any new tech, where we're still working through all that shit. Like, when I am, I'll get out of the shower and I'll, Alexa, do whatever. And then it'll be, this is a great song. Echo, actually, is what we call it. Echo, add this to my playlist. I'm like, I don't have that Spotify. I can't add songs to Spotify. Well, I'm like, oh, fuck, Jesus.
Like, it's so good, but when there's one roadblock, you're like, screw this whole thing.
Yeah. And I've done it, too. Of like, reorder paper towels. I didn't find exactly what you're looking for, but I've added them to your cart. And I'm like, no, I don't want to open the app. Just buy the damn towels.
What did you add, then, if you didn't have what I wanted?
Exactly. You know, it was just broken glass. I think it's them just keeping to try stuff. I'm with you that I think eventually it'll be there, but I just don't think it'll be a big deal. In the same way, like, why are you using the Cortana app to turn on your Xbox? Just turn your fucking Xbox on.
Yeah.
2038 Pokemon CEO writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, Greg, yesterday we discussed friend codes becoming less annoying. Here's a hidden treasure with friend codes. Privacy. Friend codes are unpopular. Yeah. We know why. Friend codes prevent public figures from getting swarmed by friend requests. Hideki Kamiya posts screenshots of Tetris 99 without his 130k followers sending requests. Game over, Greggy. Your Pokemon Go experience is personalized with friend codes. Public figures don't represent the world. The world can't be built for everyone. Everyone, look at your Switch friends list. It may be more personal. Friend codes were annoying with the Wii and DS, but I've come to appreciate them. There's a joy to having a privatized experience in a non-privatized era. Where do you come down on Nintendo friend codes?
I hate friend codes. It's always a challenge to find them and give them to people. I don't know that, like, I think that the privacy that they provide, which is, it's only privacy because they're so annoying. I'm not sure you can't have that same level of privacy with a system where you just log into your account.
Yeah.
Like, Steam has, I think, like a don't disturb setting. I think that you could get rid of friend codes and people could still have privacy.
100%. I think there's, and that's the thing is, I disagree with you, Pokemon CEO. Of course, I'm known for PlayStation. Everybody knows my PSN is Game Over Greggy. Through the settings PlayStation has built, my friends list, after I had to hire people to kick them off, because I added everybody just thinking it would be fun, not realizing it would break every game.
Right.
my friends list is incredibly personal now when I go over there. It is people I know from the industry and I know what they're up to. My Switch friends list is, as we were talking about it before, something that's forgotten to me. Now, mainly because I don't think of my Switch as an online device, but now with Marvel Ultimate Alliance, it's like, oh, I want to jump into Snowbike Mike's thing, and so I had to hit him up for a friend code, and then I actually went in there, and I'm like, oh, yeah, what's Cisco playing? Oh, he's a... But I don't check in on my friends on the Nintendo Switch ever to see what people are up to.
One, and at least for me, the Switch is such a... I use it for, like, local co-op with my friends way more than I would with like online. So yeah, when I even go into menus where I can see my friends, I'm like, oh, I forgot I have friends here.
And I this stems from me yesterday. Gary was like, ah, friends code suck. And I'm like, do they? At this point, for it being a system that I don't consider an online system, I really didn't mind being like, well, Snowbike Mike, what's your friend code? And he sends me a jumble numbers and I put it in and we play. Like,
yeah,
cool. It's good enough. It gets the job done. I understand the privacy part of it.
It technically works, but I think it would be so much easier if you could just tell them your screen name and then they could find it.
Yeah, agreed. Final question of the day goes to BJ Bernardo, who writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, hey, y'all. On IGN, there's an editorial/opinion article on climate changes and its resulting crisis needs to be highlighted and how its resulting crisis needs to be highlighted in video games. Here's the link, and he puts it out there. It's called Opinion, Why It's Time for Video Games to Address Climate Change. It brings up the game Horizon Zero Dawn as a game that did bring the issue of climate change to video games. I don't know myself since I made it my choice and I'm Xbox for life, but since you played a lot of Horizon Zero Dawn, did Horizon Zero Dawn really dive deep into climate change? Did it make you think about climate change? What games made you really think about our real life issues? I remember playing the original Final Fantasy VII as a boy and thinking it made me think how we treat our planet, both as a society and how businesses treat our planet. And it was a very negative light. It was in a very negative light. Thanks for reading this long post and twitch.tv/GaryWitta. BJ, did you play Horizon?
I played probably 10 hours of Horizon. I tried playing it right after I got done with Breath of the Wild.
And yeah, I was a little bit
open world fatigue.
Yeah.
And Breath of the Wild streamlined the open world process, whereas Horizon felt a little more open worldy, but I'm going to go back and play it at some point.
Yeah. I loved Horizon. I platinumed Horizon. Reading the question, I was like, this is upsetting, obviously, for many people because I loved Horizon so much, but I was like, was it climate change? I remember it was the human race fucking it up real bad.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's what caused us to have to go into this fucking...
Could be a metaphor for climate change.
I remember it just being... It's the normal thing that, hey, we're humans and we made all this technology and, oh man, we fucked it up. We fucked this up bad. And like, that's our problem, right? Of like, why do we do this? How do we fix it? I'm looking back right now, right? And I guess I shouldn't spoil everything about Horizon. Even though you kind of had your shot, right? Like, you know what I mean?
It's, yeah.
But yeah, like it definitely didn't make me think of, oh, hey, yeah, like we need to do something about climate change in a real way. Granted, I already think climate change is real and we need to do something in a real way. I guess that was already there.
Yeah.
But I don't think the message of Horizon Zero Dawn was so strong that it was like, oh my God, climate change is a real issue we're all facing, or robot dinosaurs are going to come back and take over the world. No, it was very... Come back, yeah.
Or rise up.
Robot dinosaurs are going to come back.
Yes. Kevin, here's what I'm going to say, all right? Have we found a lot of dinosaur bones? Yeah. Have we found a lot of metal? Yeah. Coincidence?
Put the two together?
Coincidence, Kevin?
I don't think so.
You don't know what they're up to. And that's the thing, too, where they're always trying to tell you now, like, oh, actually, dinosaurs, maybe they're covered in feathers. You know what I mean? Not scales.
Trying to get away from it, huh?
Once we can get one of these, what do you call them? Time machines working, where I can look back and see what these guys look like, then maybe I'll believe you that they weren't robot dinosaurs. But until then, I'm not going to be a part of it, Kevin. You understand?
Yeah, I guess.
Thank you. So, I don't know if I've ever had the question. Is there ever... What games really made you think about our real life issues? Like, I think games have a chance to do it and get you on that track, but it's rare that you put down the controller and you're like, fuck, we got to do something right now. Maybe Metal Gear, but even then Metal Gear got super crazy and I'm more like, fuck, we got to stop cloning children.
with Metal Gear, I spent too much time trying to unravel the mystery that is that game to like really look beyond it. But no, I mean, like, games, like any medium, stories are a great way to like experience things and like think about real world issues. But I think one-to-one, it's better when they're like larger themes, like violence towards women or like any sort of like larger issue than specifically, well, I guess climate change is kind of broad, but like
kind of a big deal.
It's fertile ground to do. But yeah, I don't think
there's been a lot of stellar examples of doing it right.
I do think that Final Fantasy VII is the great example because it's like the Shinra Corporation or whatever that's they're abusing it. But yeah, there's not been a lot of games where I came out and being like, oh my God, we have to do this exact thing.
Yeah. There you go, games. Somebody make that. Neil Druckmann, cancel Last of Us Part 2. Fix that.
I mean, he'd probably do both.
No. Time to squad up. This is where one of you writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You give me your name, username, platform of choice, why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you. Everybody plays games together. Today, Ryan Clark needs help on the Xbox One. His Xbox username is HeroOfTime816. Only Time and 816 are together as one word. So HeroOfTime816. Huh. Hey, all best friends and best hosts. Since the new casino update to GTA Online, I've become hooked on this game again. Gambling addiction. Uh-oh. There it is, right? Tipper Gore is going to drag you into the Senate. I'm looking for a crew of best friends to run some heists and possibly gamble it all away with me in hopes of getting one of those fancy flying DeLoreans they put in the game like 2 years ago. Thanks to Snowbike Mike for having me in his game and Twitch stream last night. It was a blast. Ace is wild. If you want to go get addicted to gambling with Hero of Time 816, hit him up. Hero of Time 816. Kevin shaking his head no. Kevin, addicted to cigarettes though, so can you listen to him? He's in Big Tobacco's pocket. Let's look at You're Wrong. This is where people write in to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screwed up during the show so we can set it straight and yada yada yada. Nanobiologist writes in and says the amount listed before the bonuses and difficulty stuff, the total payout can get well, you're continuing a conversation that I don't know. Boom. That's bad. Nanobiologist says you get overall $2.8 million for Doomsday Heist, not $7 million. Clearly we were joking around, you jerk.
Wait,
Abe says, possible misdate, Moonlighter DLC came out this week, but I don't remember Greg talking about it. We talked about all the Moonlighter sales, and one of them mentioned the DLC, but it's good to point out there's Moonlighter DLC available, yeah. And I don't know what it is, and I will buy it at sight unseen after this. I don't remember us talking about that at all. Why would that be there? AlBob875 says, Team Rocket in Pokemon Go is actually Team Go Rocket. So even I screwed up. You know what I mean? And I'm a Pokemaniac, so I can't believe it.
It makes them sound more like cheerleaders. Like,
yeah, go Rocket! that's a you're correct. That's not what this is about. we already talked about that yesterday. Mizukini. Ignacio Rojas says, what happened to the world in Horizon Zero Dawn is that robots started multiplying so much they started to fuck up the world. I thought that was it, but I can't remember what we started the robots for, and they were going to take over.
Is that pollution? I mean, I guess it's pollution.
It's climate change, though. So there's, did we make the robots for climate change?
Well, that's what I'm asking.
I don't remember. Literally, this is a this would have been a great thing.
It's like also like a birth control
totally
issue.
This would have been a really fun one of like this would be a fun
I'm
series.
I'm just saying. There's the problem is they reproduce too much. Get some robot condoms.
Yeah, imagine the government's gonna work on some like robot STIs.
There's no accurate way to do it, but it would be a fun series of. It's been X number of days since you completed Horizon Zero Dawn. Tell me the story. And I'm like, oh, you know, I mean, like, I know the Aloy stuff so well, but then when we were slowly revealing what was going on and why.
Isn't that the case, though, for a lot of games? Like, right now, tell me the story of Metal Gear 2.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? We open up, all right, and we're walking on the bridge. Rain's coming down. Snake's got the.
Yeah. No, that's Metal Gear Solid, too.
Oh! Fuck me! Yeah! All right, Kevin! Yeah! All right, Kevin! Good job, Kevin. Yes. Fucking nailed me. God damn. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Watch it live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch it later, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listen on podcast services around the globe. Lots happening here at Kind of Funny today. Davis doesn't get to leave this desk. Right after this, he does We Have Cool Friends with one, Tim Geddes. Very exciting.
Not all of them, just the one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. It's your friend. then after that, we're all going to Olive Garden for Andrea Renee's lunch we owe her. Then after that, we're doing the Games Cast at 2:30. It's me, Tim, Andrea, and Davis. You can watch live 2:30 p.m. Pacific time. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. It'll be up, obviously, Friday morning. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. And it'll be up for free everywhere on Monday if you want to do it that way. Tomorrow's host is me and Tim. Davis, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me, man.
Where can people keep up with you?
On Warp Zone, on Instagram, Patreon, YouTube.
You got to give me a URL. What's your Patreon URL?
Oh, patreon.com/thewarpzone?
How do you not know this? This is very important. Hey, business. Hey,
I'm so new to all this
stuff. I'm teaching him, Kevin.
Okay, I'm just saying it's hard, okay? It's hard.
But this is good because you guys are the masters.
Host the shows,
first off, look at what I did to Xavier Woods, right? I taught him how to promote, and he promoted himself so well, he interrupted our show yesterday to promote himself.
I honestly hope he does that more often.
All right.
That was fantastic.
I was going to say, I put my phone down and had it turned off. So I'm just like, I hope not. I haven't missed a call
just
from
him. Just like 10 missed calls from him?
Exactly. And, you know, Gary Wood is going to start doing it. I digress. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.